different this morning, and that's because I do got a little bit of a laryngitis thing going on, so I've been praying for a couple days that my Lord will just grab a hold of my neck and let me get through this. But well, once again, I say good morning and welcome. If you're a guest or a visitor with us, a special welcome to you, and God's peace be with all of you who are joining us online. We're so glad you joined us this morning in worship. And to our guests, if you haven't been here the last couple of weeks, we're in the middle of a sermon series, and we'll talk a lot about that this morning. So as we begin, let us pray. Almighty God, we thank and we praise you this morning. Lord, we want to thank you for sending your Spirit to not only to be with us, but to guide us, to direct us, to protect us. Lord, we just want to thank you for all that you give us each and every day. And we pray and ask this all in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Now, I just said a moment ago to protect us. And I just want to share with you this morning a little story of our dear friend Tristan. First off, we stop and just say, thank you, Lord. Come on. Because Tristan was coming back from Cedar Point with six students this past weekend, and through the heavy storm, the hydroplaned on the water and spun the van and hit the guardrail. But God, yes, exactly, but by God's grace, sending his Holy Spirit to protect all of them, we are so grateful. But here's the point of that story. Not only did the Holy Spirit protect them, but please, stand up and tell them what you did 5 minutes after. The kids said, let's pray. To God be the glory for that. And we're so grateful that you're okay. Okay, let's move on to something a little bit more happy, right? Okay. But that is happy news. We just thank God, and we thank God that everybody's okay. Well, like I say, if you haven't been here the past few weeks, we're in the middle of a sermon series called Growing in Christ. And that should be our goal, really, as we've talked about, that our goal as a Christian, our goal as a believer should be that we grow, that we understand Jesus a little bit more, that we come to a better understanding of his word, what he desires for us in our life. Because when we know more, we can be a better witness for him, right? So in week one, if you remember, we talked about that exploring Christian, that person that's seeking God, but they don't really know why until the Holy Spirit finds them. And last week, we talked about the growing in Christ, that all-important act of serving. That's so important that we don't just come and sit here on Sundays, that we can serve, but it's very important to know that I'm not talking building churches or going on mission trips. Sometimes just sitting there talking to a friend or someone that is in need is so important. We've been talking about the different stages that we go through or grow through as Christians in our faith life. And today we're talking about living in Christ. And what does that really mean? It really should be Christ living in you, but we kind of flipped it around today because we're talking about the gift of the Holy Spirit. Yes, we talked about this about a month ago on Pentecost Sunday, but we're going to look at it a little bit differently this morning because when we are out there, when we are sharing the love of Jesus with people, when we are driving, the Holy Spirit is with us, guiding us and protecting us. So let's look at our focus verses this morning. If you brought your Bibles, please open up to John chapter 14. Or if you didn't, we're going to put it all up on the screen this morning. And we heard about this, we heard this once by our reader this morning. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. In other words, if you really love me, you'll do what I ask. Is it easy? Say no. Go ahead, be honest. You're in church, don't lie. And that's why he says, and I will ask the Father to give you a helper. to be with you, even the Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive, because the world doesn't know this stuff. And this is where we come in, because the world doesn't see him or know him. But he dwells with you, and he will be in you. And he goes on to promise, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you yet a little while, and the world will not see me anymore. Now he's sitting with these guys saying, the world won't see me. I'm going to be leaving. We're going to circle back to that. But you will see me, because I live, you also will live. See, Jesus is saying a lot in these scriptures. But the first thing that we see in these readings this morning is that Jesus is giving giving us, a comforting promise. Okay, I want to just kind of hit the pause button here for a second. Let me set some context here. If you're not familiar with this section of the reading, let me set the stage for you, because this all takes place at the tail end of what we call the Last Supper. Jesus is sitting around with his disciples. Now, can you imagine if you're one of the disciples? You have just heard your best friend, your teacher, your rabbi tell you that he's going to be leaving soon. Well, you're stunned, to say the least. How could Jesus say that he's going to be leaving when he has been promising us all along that he would do just the opposite? He would never leave us. He would always be with them. So the disciples must have wondered what all of this actually meant. And frankly, I'm a bit curious. How about you here this morning? Because many people, even today, wonder, and perhaps you're in that crowd, why? Why did Jesus really have to leave? Life would be so much simpler if he would have just stayed on this earth. We wouldn't have to struggle with doubt. We wouldn't wrestle with all those questions about right and wrong. However, God shows us that Jesus had to leave. He had to leave so that our salvation could be complete. It's that upper story that we talk about. Yet he said this not to confuse the disciples, but rather to comfort them. In fact, in our text this morning, Jesus actually gives two comforting promises in verses 16 and 17. The first promise that he gives is he promises to care for them. And he promises to be with them. So let's look at that first one. Jesus promises to care for them. Now, everybody in this room, I'm sure you all like to feel loved, don't you? You like to feel cared for, right? Yeah. Makes you feel important. It's good to be loved. In fact, we seek out groups to tell us how much they love us. That's what we're doing here today. Well, let me tell you, I love you. But more importantly, Jesus loves you. And you can look around the world today and find all sorts of support groups. You can find all sorts of weekend seminars for all sorts of reasons. People gather to find answers of many of life's questions and, frankly, many of life's problems and struggles. Now, I'm not knocking weekend retreats and seminars, because Lord knows I've been to my fair share of them over the years. I'm only worried about the ones with the ongoing, feel-good, never-ending search for worldly happiness is the focus, instead of seeing that Jesus is really the only true source of happiness in our lives. But if truth be told, in all of these seminars, the answers that they seek, the hope that they're looking for, can be found right here in the Scriptures. And as far as the people getting together, in these kind of groups and seminars, and you know, this is nothing new. In fact, our gospel reading today is an account of a first century retreat that does just that. See, early in John chapter 14, we find Jesus gathered with his disciples, and we call the Last Supper. But he gathers with his disciples, and he is teaching them what true greatness really is. He's teaching them where true greatness can be found. It can be found in and through service to others. We talked a lot about that last week and how critical that is. And then Jesus actually demonstrates true greatness through humility. It's when he got down on his hands and knees and he washed the feet of the disciples. The Son of God got down. And in that act, Jesus revealed to his disciples a new concept. It's called agape love. It's that love that only God can have for you. And he did it through service, through getting down on his hands and knees. And it is this incredible act of love that is at the very heart of Jesus' ministry. In fact, a love that would find its fulfillment on the cross at Calvary. He did this for us so that we might find favor in God's eyes. In fact, everything that Jesus did while he was on this earth, everything that he accomplished was for us. That's hard to wrap your brain around, isn't it? Yes, it is for me. And all this was a part of that upper story, that plan that God has. Oh, there's a cough. I almost got through it. There we go. But again, as I say, this God has that upper story, that plan. It was a plan to, as we heard in the song a moment ago, to reconcile us back to himself and to give us eternal peace. All right, let's go back to our focus first for a second. Verse 15 and 16. Jesus explains on that upper story plan of salvation, but he knows right from the very beginning, well, we're going to need help. We're really not capable of pulling this off on our own. So Jesus says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will send you a helper to be with you forever. See, knowing our situation then and knowing our situation for all the years to come, he knew that we were going to need help. We knew we couldn't do this. So he promises to send another whom he calls a helper. In the original language, the word is helper. The original Greek word is parakletos. Parakletos. And the true definition, that's why I love to unpack the original language, because it paints such a broader stroke. And it really calls that the definition, if you will, of a parakletos is someone who is called to your aid. He's an advocate. He's an intercessor. He is a counselor. He is a helper. See, Jesus knew the importance of this because, well, as the horror of Good Friday approached, he said this to comfort his disciples and all of his followers. Because he knew that they're going to be just terrified. They're going to be so confused as they see their Lord hanging on that cross, the spear stuck in him, and that guard said, he is dead. He knew that they would be confused and terrified as they witnessed the crucifixion and his earthly death. Jesus wanted to let his disciples know that he would, despite what was going to happen on the cross, would never leave them. He would never forsake them because he loved them just too much. So he makes them a promise that he would send this Parakletos, this helper, to be with them, to comfort them, to guide them and direct them, and to protect them. Again, the original word here gives the idea of one who walks alongside. I love that mind picture. Walks alongside you, encourage you, instructing you. It paints such a beautiful picture of one who cares. And I can't think of a better way for Jesus to describe his love for us, his concern for us, than through that word, that description of the Holy Spirit. But how they, and perhaps you might be wondering, how is this important? How can I use this in my everyday living for Christ, as the message title asks? Well, first off, the Holy Spirit shows us we need a Savior. We need a Savior because the Bible is crystal clear, friends. We can't save ourselves. You know, despite all the motivational speakers that are out there on the circuits telling you that you can, I'm here to tell you that all of the power of positive thinking you can muster up cannot remove sin. Sure, you can get motivated. You can go out and do all sorts of things. But the power of positive thinking cannot save you. So in his mercy, Jesus gives us a promise in verses 16 and 17. And I will ask the Father, and he will send another helper, a Parakletos, to be with you for how long? Forever. That's incredible. He's the Spirit of Truth. But the world won't know who he is. The world don't understand him because the world doesn't know him. The Lord shows his love and his concern by dealing with the truth head on here. And the truth is, we're addicted to sin. Sorry to break that news to you. We are addicted to sin. But the helper, when we come face to face with the sin in our lives, the Holy Spirit is always there and convicts us of the sin in our lives. The Spirit shows us that, A, we are sinners, but then points us back to Jesus. Now, you may not really get this, but you feel it in your heart, don't you? And again, I get it. The concept of the Holy Spirit is, without a doubt, one of the hardest things in religion, I hate the word, but to wrap your brain around. Because in our heads, we can picture God the Father, because we have earthly fathers, for examples. And in our heads, we can picture God the Son, because Jesus was fully human, right? And as a matter of fact, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. But God, the Holy Spirit? We don't really have an image that we can draw on for this in our imaginations. See, God, the Holy Spirit, is too abstract, too conceptual for us to even imagine. So the challenge becomes in our daily faith walk, as we're trying to make sense of all this, is how do we interact with God as Holy Spirit in our day-to-day lives? Although Jesus did prepare us for the Holy Spirit, he did speak of the Holy Spirit, but he didn't speak of the Holy Spirit in really specific terms other than what the Holy Spirit will do in our lives. So who is the Holy Spirit and why should even be important to us? Well, first off, the Holy Spirit leads us into a relationship with God. He leads us. The Holy Spirit gives us what we call spiritual gifts, those things that we do to use in the ministry of God. then the Holy Spirit grows fruit in us. We talked about that last week. And helps us become those people that God has created us to be. Then the Holy Spirit leads us into obedience. And this is how we show our devotion to Jesus, by doing the commandments that Jesus just talked about. And then the tough one comes. Because the Holy Spirit leads us to obedience. Lastly, because of our sinful nature, convicts us of the sin in our life. But immediately leads us back to Jesus. He guides us. He walks with us. He takes us right back to the cross and says, see what he did for you? And that is why Jesus said to his disciples in verse 16, even though they didn't understand him, the world won't understand him because they don't know him. And I get it, because Jesus was no longer there on earth to physically see, per se. But the fact is, the Lord is there. He will always be there. The Spirit is with us. And actually, the Spirit is in us. No matter where you go, the Spirit is right there. And that is the good news here. We all may not look at it so much as being the good news, but it is, in fact, the good news. Because, friends, this is the foundation of our faith. All right, as we kind of wind down this sermon series on growing in the faith, over the past couple weeks, we have talked about the different stages that we grow through in our faith life. You know, that first one, remember that exploring Christ, that new believer, and the reason I bring this back up again is because by knowing this, you can recognize those in your life who are in this stage. That person that's, they want to know a little bit more about God, but they don't know why. That person that's getting involved in serving more. But they don't want the credit. They want the credit to go to Jesus. And today, living for Christ, we come to a better understanding of the role of the Holy Spirit in our lives. So when you reflect on this, as you're going through this stage, as you see or recognize some of this, I want you to look back on your own life. Because it was in your baptism when the Holy Spirit whispered in your ear, "You're mine. You have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus. And nothing, no one will ever be able to take you out of my hand." And when you come to the Lord's Supper today, the Holy Spirit will whisper in your ear, "Take, eat, for this is my body. Take, drink, for this is my blood shed for you for the forgiveness of sin." That sin that we run from but cling to. As we walk through our lives every day, remember that, because you will look up and there will be the Holy Spirit once again as he leads you with the gifts that he has given you, and he puts in your heart hope. He puts in your heart eternal life, the thought. He grants the forgiveness of your sin. This is all given to us as we stand before God, washed as white as snow by the blood of the Lamb. We can drop to our knees that day and just simply say thank you. All in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Let's pray.